This is the Australia Report with CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladev, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Thank you.
Excellent. Community fundraising campaign facing a major shortfall. Tell us about the story.
So this is obviously a direct function of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And where Jewish community, like all others, you know, has been impacted. And so we have here in Sydney a group, an organization called the JCA, which stands for the Jewish Communal Appeal, which is the fundraising and planning roof body of the Jewish community in New South Wales, which is in Sydney. And by the way, the president and CEO are both former South Africans. A man named Stephen Chipkin is president, and Alain Hasson is the current CEO, both former South Africans. Now, the way it works basically is every May, the JCA will have a fundraising campaign, and typically, so last year, for example, it raised $14 million, and then 25 or so organizations which come under its umbrella, there's an application process. I call it the inquisition, they call it the application, and where we will say, this is what we did with our $1 million last year, this is why we need $1.3 million next year, etc. And so there's a very rigorous applications process. Obviously this year, because of the pandemic, there was no campaign, there was no big functions, speakers, everything which goes with a fundraising campaign. And so the campaigning has had to happen online, on the phone, one-on-one meetings, etc., etc. As a result of which, while many of the major donors are being generous, instead of last year's $14 million, the JCA has only raised $8 million, which is just a fraction over half what it raised last year. And it's obviously still working hard to increase that amount. But it means that Jewish organizations are going to struggle. And so, for example, one of the real needs which we've seen in the pandemic has been Meals on Wheels. There has been a threefold increase in the demands for meals, for kosher Meals on Wheels. And that translates to about $100,000 per quarter over and above what was. Now, this is coming from a declining bucket of money. And so, and we're hearing anecdotally the Jewish schools where significant numbers are saying they can't afford fees because their businesses have taken a hit, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. So I have no doubt this scenario is being replicated in communities around the world. I'm sure including South Africa.
Absolutely.
But certainly already so quickly, as it were, just a few months out after, the pandemic hit in late February, and we're already seeing direct impact in terms of numbers, in terms of how much the community is raising. And organizations like my own, the Board of Deputies, the instruction which we have is that here's your budget for 2020. See if you can make it last into 2021 as well.
Right.
So obviously, that means reconsidering projects and functions and campaigns and what have you.
We're certainly seeing it here. We have the Chevra Kadisha here, as you know, which manages a huge amount of facilities as well as burial, as well as a lot of the welfare in the community. And this is the first time in 132 years that they've gone out with an emergency appeal, because they're being hit, of course, on all sides. There are less donors because people are struggling. They are required, and it's costing them many millions of rands a month, to make sure that their facilities are very much safer in terms of access and in terms of COVID. Plus, they are seeing a huge amount of people coming to them for greater assistance. So it's certainly a problem, I believe, that communities around the world must be facing at this time.
Yeah, absolutely, and it still has to play out down the track. In other words, I was just talking the other day to an ENT. Now, ENT obviously typically earns well. However, this ENT said to me, I haven't had a patient walk in my door for 4 months.
Yes, in fact, it's very interesting you say that, because somebody sent me a message the other day to say that it's the media, government, and doctors, all of whom have job security, that are fueling the fear around COVID, and it's self-serving and unfair. And I asked a doctor, I put that question to a doctor, not one involved in COVID. And he said, you know, if it wasn't so tragic, it would be funny. I'm not seeing patients. People aren't coming to me because they're afraid to be in my rooms. They're afraid to be at a hospital. They're afraid. So, in fact, many doctors, many private practitioners are suffering greatly during this time, because they are simply not seeing the patients. The surgeons are not doing elective surgery. It's completely ground to a halt. So unfortunately, there's this perception that the doctors, well, they're so busy and they're thriving at the moment. That's actually completely untrue. They are suffering perhaps more than most, or the same as anybody else.
And as we're saying, this still has to play out into 2021. You know, what will be the impact for next year? When organizations which typically fundraise are unable to, or their fundraising capacity is seriously diminished.
Absolutely.
That's the thing here.
Here's an amazing story. The South African expats raise $5,000 for people living in poverty in South Africa.
This is a very nice story. So this, this is a lovely, not say a little group. They have just over 100 members. They call themselves Altazagan. Now, I'm a proud Sephardi. I'm not an Ashkenazi. I don't speak Yiddish. But they call themselves Altazagan. There are over 100 of them, retired former South African men only.
Only men.
And
all right.
Only men.
That sounds like an old South African story.
Exactly. Exactly. You said it. I didn't. And they invite speakers, and I've had the pleasure of, I did a presentation to them just last week,
on
Zoom, to 100 people there. And so they call themselves a friendship club, and they've just raised $5,500 just over a period of a month to purchase 9,000 emergency nutrition packs for people living in poverty across regional South Africa. And the funds have gone to the Union of Jewish Women in South Africa, who apparently run a project called Save a Soul Feeding Scheme. And so this group, Altazagan members, they've raised these funds and sent it to the Union of Jewish Women, and in fact have also assisted disadvantaged townships in Kimberley. Now, I have to declare, my very first job was as I was a deputy editor on the Diamond Fields Advertiser in Kimberley way back when. And so I have
an affectionate
tie with Kimberley.
That is really just such a lovely story, and it's always great to hear when South Africans are living overseas, but not only remembering their communities and their friends and families, but also reaching out to those who are still suffering and who are struggling across the country. So that's really, really awesome.
And just to add to that, because I'm sure this name will resonate with some of the listeners. So the person who runs it, he is a lovely man named Brian Fine. His wife is Wendy Fine. And many people out there who have children and or grandchildren.
Not the Wendy Fine, the singer. She tormented.
Exactly. That's Wendy. There's an orchestra in my kitchen in the days when things.
She tormented me as a young father, I have to say, because that's all we were allowed to listen to on the tapes in the car. And I mean, if I just hear one of Wendy Fine's songs, it just takes me back to hours and hours of driving, and just there's an orchestra in my kitchen. Oh my goodness!
Exactly.
What an incredible
link. This is Wendy Fine's husband, Brian Fine, who runs this Altazagan. Former South African retirees friendship club here.
Absolutely
in Sydney.
And
it's a lovely group of men. And, like I said, they've done this very nice thing, raising $5,500 for people, you know, living in poverty in regional South Africa.
That is incredible. We don't have a lot of time, but tell me very quickly, half a dozen left-wing Jewish organizations urge Prime Minister to condemn annexation.
Just very quickly there. So it's exactly what you said. And, I should preface that by saying the leadership of the community here, as in the Board of Deputies, as in our federal counterparts, we are not taking positions on this annexation. First of all, it is premature. Israel itself hasn't said what they're going to do. What will they annex? Will it only be the three consensus settlements? What is going to happen? Israel themselves does not seem to know, or certainly has not announced it. So to be banging on the doors of government and saying, condemn Israel for what it is going to do, we believe is totally premature. Notwithstanding that, so half a dozen left-wing organizations, Jewish organizations here in Australia, have written to the Prime Minister urging the Australian government to condemn the fact that there will be annexation in areas of the West Bank. As I say, we believe, the leadership believes that it's premature, but nevertheless, that is what has happened. And it has also happened in a number of other countries around the world.
Yeah, and this is unfortunately, I think it's a very, very serious issue, because I believe that Prime Minister Netanyahu isn't even serious about it, but yet it's causing this chaos and this confusion almost everywhere in the world.